Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's the coolest day ever in July in Tulsa. Dr. Price, it's a great day for the Paula Price Show.
I agree. It's a great day, and I'm excited about the cool. Now, I know many Tulsans feel like, where's summer? But, you know, I am kind of appreciating this almost Caribbean kind of weather we have. We get a little sprinkle. We get a little whatever. But I must say, I do miss the sunshine today. I welcome everybody to the show. We're going to have a great time. Ashley, as we go on today, God has some wonderful things in store. I know that you have some great people lined up already, so I'm ecstatic about that. But here's something that I want to talk about right now, and that is where we're going next week. Ashley, where are we going next week?
Well, Dr. Price, we are returning to your old stomping grounds, Florida. We will be in Fort Pierce, Florida at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center for their 22nd anniversary celebration. That's with Apostle Trevor Banks. And the theme is Times of Extraordinary Prophetic Fulfillment. Now, the event starts on the 23rd. Dr. Price, you are ministering Thursday on the 24th. Two times in that day, noon their time, 11 central time, is going to be the standard Paula Price Show. It might be full length. It might be the adjusted time frame. And then in the evening, you will be 7:30 p.m. ministering. And so their key scripture is 1 Chronicles 12:32. The sons of Issachar had understanding of times to know what Israel ought to do. And I tell you what, if there's anybody who is qualified to speak on the discernment of time and what we should do, it is certainly you.
You know what? I have to admit that would be one of the amazing abilities and faculties that the Lord has given me. As a matter of fact, Ashley, we're going to in a minute check in with Prophet Adia. But, you know, one of the things that the Lord has told me about is why he gives us what he gives us. You know, why do we have these endowments? Why do we have these gifts? Why do we have these powers? You know, we often as the church are afraid to tell people we have power. But the Holy Ghost said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, that's a grant, but that might be a blanket, but it's a blanket made up of different tapestry, different fabric strands, different textures. Okay, so we might all wear the blanket called the power of the Holy Ghost. But not all of us are standing under the same strand, texture, pattern, blanket, whatever you want to call it. And so I kind of look at, liken it to a patchwork quilt, and the nearest thing that comes to mind would be Joseph's robe of many colors. You know, the robe of many colors wasn't all just one fabric. They made, you know, we had different colors, different fabric, textures, et cetera, each one indicating some sort of ability or power or attainment that Joseph would have. I feel like that's where we are today. My heart for the body of Christ is that we'll get back to the reality of the God we serve. We serve Almighty God. It is impossible to be close with God, to be in his presence every day, to be aware of and surrender to his indwelling Holy Spirit and be impotent or powerless. It is an impossibility. The closer you get to God by osmosis, the more powerful you're going to become. And why does God empower us? First of all, because he's infectious. God is all powerful. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, walking into a room of smoke talking about, well, the smoke's not going to get on me. Well, no, if the room is filled with smoke, it's going to get on you. And hopefully it's a good fragrance. So it's kind of like that, or I'm going to stand outside and no air is going to get into me. It may not come through your nostrils if you're congested. It may not come through your mouth if you have breathing issues, but the air is going to penetrate you. And that's how it is being with the Lord, being with God Almighty. When you are in God's presence, you pick up God. You pick up his fragrance. You pick up his essence. You pick up his strength, his thoughts. It is impossible. That is why when we are confused about where we are, we need to check the distance between us and God. We need to check our prayer distance. We need to check our worship distance. We need to check our obedience distance, because all of those will distance us from the immediacy of God's presence. Now, God will always indwell us, but God dwells in us by his spirit, in our spirit, not in our soul. Our soul is affected by the indwelling Christ, but that is why it must be converted. Now, why is our soul affected? Because our soul is the one that must make the day-to-day, case-by-case, shot-by-shot decisions for Christ. We have to, every day. You must do it. Soul to day by day, your soul makes the decisions. Your soul is the, if I call it anything, I would have to say your soul acts like the swing vote between your flesh, your body, and your spirit. Your soul is your swing vote. It is the one that's going to say, okay, today we're going to do Jesus. Okay, today we might not do Jesus. Well, we'll do half Jesus in the morning and no Jesus at night. You know, but that is the importance of your soul. And every time, this thing is so technologically sound that every time your soul makes a vote for Jesus, you get to pull another iota of his strength into the soul realm, so that you're crafting the soul of the Son of Man in your human soul. So your spirit is always there giving you God's thoughts, God's feelings, God's wisdom, God's reasons, and his suggestions and recommendations. Because, yeah, unless you bump up against destiny, God's going to suggest and recommend. Why? He does not want to wrestle you to rule you. He wants you to allow him to rule you according to his will by your will. In other words, God wants you to willfully bring your will under the will of the Almighty. And he wants you to do it every day, all day. We hear people say, well, why didn't God stop me? Do you really want the muscle of God banging around inside you all day, every day? Do you really want to feel that? The man is who he is. He is the Almighty. And because we think of God as who are the little piece that our preacher gives us on Sundays and our Bible teacher may give us middle of the week, or the little piece that we snatches we get out of the scripture, or the slivers of Christ that we get, you know, just in our favorite this or that, we don't realize that we are getting like, you know, the measure of Jesus we get every day is so small that he calls it the grain of a mustard seed. He calls it a grain. And then he calls it the grain of the grain. So we get such a small piece, but he wants to let us know how potent he is. That just that grain of him, that little teeny, almost unseen part of him changes our lives and alters our world. You know, we can say all day long, God needs to step up and do this, and God needs to step up and do that, and that's wonderful. That's why we pray. We need God to get involved. But we like God to get involved peacefully, calmly, and we like him restrained, because we don't want a restrained God running amok in our world, because there won't be a world. We'll only have that happening for about 30 seconds, and it's all over. If this man can send us a storm that takes out a city in a matter of minutes, steel beams, concrete, everything. You need to know you don't want God to override your will 24/7. You want to become cooperative. You want to yield. That's why he uses words like yield and entreat and submit and desire and all of those. He uses those words because God knows what he can do. He knows how much he can take out. He knows how much he can destroy. That's not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is to form an alliance with you that moves into a partnership, that upgrades to a collaborative, that is based on you willfully cooperating with him, because you know he is Alpha and Omega. He is yesterday, today, and forever. He is ever-present, omniscient, etc. So when you are making this vote in your soul, you're choosing this, and you're choosing to keep peace with God, and you're choosing to cooperate with God to keep peace between you and to keep your life headed toward his ideal plan. So we don't want to provoke him. You know, when we think about that, every day that that God lets us do stuff and he just says, okay, you'll be all right, you'll figure it out. You know, the Bible says his long-suffering is to lead us to repentance. God is long-suffering on purpose. He's long-suffering because he wants the precious fruit of the earth. He's long-suffering because I am God. I am the Almighty. What did he say? I am God. I'm not man, so I can't act like you guys. I can't blow off steam and just say, oh, my goodness, that was great. I had a wonderful catharsis. It's over. God blows off steam. We lose cities, buildings, and land. So we don't need him blowing off steam. You know, and we have to think differently about God and to know that he is willfully surrendering himself to our flaws, our faults, our naivety. You know, he's our ignorance. He's surrendering himself to that for the precious fruit of the earth. But while he's in that posture, the Lord needs us to know that it is his will to do it, and our free will is because he's permitting it, not because he has no alternative to us and he has no remedy for when we resist him. God wants us to convert to his world, to convert to his image and likeness. He wants us to conform so that we can fit in his world. We can fit his citizenship. He wants us to think like he thinks and like those in his world think. And they don't think like us. They don't think like us. Now, imagine if I can, just briefly, if I can paint a picture for you of God's world. Imagine waking up tomorrow, never fearing death again. Do you realize the volume of threats that immediately come off the table of your life? Imagine never being vulnerable again. Nothing can harm you ever again, ever. You wake up tomorrow morning, and God gives you, you know, a 48-hour window where you are completely constructed and conscious, and I would say constructed with the consciousness of how they think. You can't die. You can't be wounded. You can't be threatened. You can't be outwitted by anyone but God and those he put immediately over you. You can't ever lose because everybody wins. Can you imagine what you would get done in a day that you're not going to get tired, you can't get sick, there is no vulnerability in you, and all your life is about making things stronger, better, mightier, etc., and getting and extending God's power into all his creation. Imagine for a moment the mindset that you would have, the mentality that you would have, and imagine that God gave you that with free will and full wisdom. In other words, you know why right is right, not because God said it, and you don't have to take it by faith. Today we take right and wrong by faith. But in God's world, they take it by wisdom and experience. They've lived, they've learned. We know why this works. We know why you all are going to end up. We know why your planet is going to self-destruct in X amount of ages. We know why you're going to self-destruct. We understand how that goes because we've already been there, done that, won that. And so in God's world, those issues don't come up. Imagine in God's world that since nobody dies, we don't need medicine, insurance, or anything. Imagine what kind of a world would that be. What would we put in place of those? We don't have accidents. Everybody knows what's going on. The system is so tight, it's undepletable. You can't even wear it out. Imagine that. Imagine where you don't have to lie because, well, it's useless anyhow. A world with no lies, a world with no darkness, a world with no threats, a world with no lack, no losses. Every being is a self-contained entity. It regenerates itself. It regenerates its life. It keeps itself going. It supplies itself. It has its own backup, own reserves. Can you imagine that? How would you think? What decisions would you make? Well, that's what God is working us to. He's working us toward that we can qualify for that we might be found worthy. You know, when Jesus said those who are worthy to inherit that world, there's a worth. Why? Because that's a valuable world. We get their residue. We operate off their residue. And look at us. We operate on what God has obsoleted. And we're still awesome. We are still fearfully and wonderfully made with their old technology and their old ways of doing things and their vulnerabilities, etc. Operate on that. And so when I say your soul is the swing vote, that's important because every second of every day, we have to do it by faith that this is right. If God says it's going to blow up in our face, it's going to blow up in our face. If he says it's going to, you know, prosper us, great, it's going to do it because they don't have the walls and the veils of time and space and time zones and nights and days and all. They don't have that. None of that. So everybody lives on the same day, same time. Now, they don't live on the same plane, and they don't live in the same realm. And one day I'll talk to you all about that. You'll love that when I feel like I've kind of refined the language. But so they don't live in the same place. They don't live on the same plane. They don't all do the same functions. They don't all stay in the same location. Their zones are different. But everybody's in the same day. Now, wherever that day is in God, that's where they live and they occupy and they produce. But what, if you never make a mistake, how much could you get done? And so when God wrote his scriptures, he wrote all of that out to say, let me lay out for you not only the reality of an eternal life, but the life plan that keeps it eternal. And God is always working to get us to inherit his best. We do not have God's best here. I know we like to tell people because you got some money and you got a car and you're kind of big and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people trail you down and whatnot. You think that's the best life. It's not. And you know why I know it's not your best life? It's not your best life because you still die in the end. None of that keeps you alive. None of it keeps you strong. None of it keeps you healthy. None of it keeps you young. But in God's world, that's how they live. They don't age. Nobody worries about, I got to buy some gray dye. I don't have to dye my gray hair. I don't have to spend hours in the gym. We don't waste time with that. Our life here is consumed with survival and sustenance. There, not so. And so when you have these kinds of times where God starts telling you, you know, you really don't want to do that, or you really need to get this together. Why? Because God knows the entity, that body that we're going to put on and when we're changed in twinkling of eye, he knows how that thing works. And it doesn't work to die. It works to live. It doesn't work to destruct. It works to regenerate, and it regenerates itself all alone with super ultimate wisdom, you know. And so all of the things that God has done from, you know, the new creation, getting you to repent and getting you to take the fragment, the template, if you will, of that being that you're going to become, and to give you his word for you to learn it, for you to study it, for you to become it. You know, we did you a misservice when we made you think that the scriptures were just a wonderful, you know, entertainment approach, some entertainment reading. We made it allegorical. We made it so symbolic. Why? Because we literally washed the technology that runs God's world out of the scriptures. You don't think of it technically. You don't even think of it technically, let alone technologically. Most of us don't even think of it as anything more than a suggestion. Well, you know, the scriptures are just a suggestion. In a way, they are. They suggest you do this if you want to inherit that. But God's world is all about him being forever, self-generating himself, reproducing himself after his own kind with people who want to be with him, people who want to be like that, people who understand that if you do this, this, and this, you will die. God, what did he say to Israel? If you do these things, you'll live. If not, you'll die. He said to Adam, you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Why? Because I created death, and I created it for a reason, and I empowered it to do what it does. We have been told God didn't create death. The devil just woke up one day and found out that he could kill folk and had been running amok since. No, no, no. If he had a creator to design him, to bring him into existence, then that creator also understands precisely what he'll do and when he'll turn and what he's going to use him to do once he turns. So we are the ones that God wants to give eternal life to, but eternal life is not some utopian idea. It's not even about utopia. It's not even about the nonsense that they're showing us on TV and all of those other kinds of things. It is about capturing the secrets and the mysteries that cause you to live as long as our God has and to live in a world that rules everything else and controls it all, and to do it in his good pleasure and to do it as his partner, as his seed, as his offspring, as well as a collaborator in what he's doing. God is not looking for us to be robots. He doesn't want us to walk around like we are some sort of hallucinogenic drug all day long. He's not even going to psych our minds out so that we, even though we are no place, because our minds are doped up or whatever, we don't know it. So he's going to inject these illusions because he can't deliver for real. That's not our his world. And so when God tells you that we must believe to the saving of the soul, and when he tells you, I want you to sanctify, and when he starts giving you all of these ideas of how to do things, he is giving you just peeks, I mean little pinhead peeks into his world. And every time you choose him, that little piece of his world that he deposited in your soul, in the person of the Holy Ghost, and in the essence of your new creation, it begins to strengthen you. Why? Because God has a plan for you that you can't dream. You know, the Lord can get, he can show it to you, you still don't know what you're seeing. It's that much out of our brain. It's that much out of our range. And he can show you, I am that I am. And he can show you the things that he wants. But along the way, he gives us taste. We get the new abilities. We've got endowments. We've got thoughts. We've got faculties. We've got a lot of things that we don't train you to use. We train God's people to beg. Ask for this, pray for that, plead for this, plead. We do not train your strength. We train your weaknesses. We do not train you to conquer. We train you to compromise. We train you to concede. We do not come anywhere close to what God has in mind for your eternal future. Now, a handful of us have tapped into this, and we're like, oh, yeah, this is good. I want that. The reason God put ministers in the planet was not for us to run around and use our sermonizing as an expression of our emotional state or our sentiment so that we can kind of trick people into No. He put ministers in the planet, in his church, to harvest his greatness in you so you can harvest the next dimension of greatness in him. Ministry is all about harvest. It's harvesting. It's physical harvesting for an unseen purpose and an eternal purpose, incorruptible. So God wants you to learn from your ministers, but if your ministers are 16 and you 35, that's probably not going to work. If your ministers are 12 and you're 40, how are they going to help you harvest? They haven't even figured, can't spell it. Try to figure it out. So you don't have the big picture for your eternal life, then you don't care what happens or how you pursue your natural life. You don't care about the roadmap that you follow through to get out of this world into his. And that's the beautiful thing about what God wants. He wants today in this era to upgrade his ministers, to upgrade his church, so that we can get on the next plane. If this was a staircase, we get on the next level of what he wants to do. And the world has got it. That's why they keep showing you all these sci-fi, spooky things, you know. They, you know, think with your mind, move things. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because they got hold of a message, however corrupt, but they know the next wave. But all of that is for us because the earth is not groaning for all of that crazy nonsense. The earth is groaning for the sons of God, the offspring of God. What are they groaning for? The earth is groaning for the new creation. The earth is groaning for the manifestation of the hidden seeds, those that weep among the tares. It's groaning for the wheat to show up. It's groaning for the new creation to show up. It's groaning for the offspring of the Godhead to show up and do what it takes. You realize that in all of the world's exploits of power, 98% of it is about destruction. It's about destruction. It's about killing people. It's about raping people. It's about eating people. It's about throwing them against the wall. It's about that darkness, because that's all the darkness can do but destroy. Even when they try to tell you we got the kind of good thing, well, this is white magic and the good witch, there's no such thing. If somebody's going to impose their will on you arbitrarily because someone paid them, there's nothing good about that. You're still losing. That's not what the earth is growing for. The earth is groaning for you and me to grow up. The earth is growing for us to learn about the power that's at work in us, and it's dormant. The earth is groaning. The creaturehood is groaning because the only ones with authority to rescue them from the hostility and the vileness and the aberrance of the dark world is God's sons and daughters. That's our job, and yet we're trying to be like them. And that's not what it's about. And you're going to see. I prophesy this to you today. We are going to see more and more real Christians do real Jesus. And I promise you the planet's not ready for it, because God is not living to destroy humanity. Do you realize how many movies are out there that's going to destroy humanity and destroy the world? That's not his purpose. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And people pay billions of dollars to see how man could be destroyed. Billions of dollars a year on how humans can tear up other humans, how devils can come through walls and snatch flesh through. Come on, people. Is anybody else going to wake up and say, this is a real con? But God empowered you and me as alternatives and solutions. Why? Because his world rules over that. Well, why won't God stop them? Because what's the point of stopping them if you're not ready? Why would God bring a solution that nobody can maintain? Why would he create an alternative to something that nobody can steward? Until he gets enough of us in his mind, with his attitude, with his heart, pursuing his vision and his purposes, his way, willing to live and rule on his terms, he's just going to let this run him up. Because what's the point? So God turns around and he eliminates, let's say, he eliminates 5 million devils and he's got 50,000 saints that can maintain it. Yeah, right. Who's still trying to live this everyday life? But when God, and he's going to do it, I'm telling you as surely as Jesus is Lord, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven is getting ready to step up his game. And he's going to step it up with you and me and those of us who've made ourselves ready. He's getting ready to step up his game. He's getting ready to, the Holy Spirit is getting ready to unleash an entire new dimension of what God has in us. See, that's the beauty. He can do that in us. God, come on, God saved us while we were still walking down the aisle. We had major surgery. Flipped our spirit, gave us a new spirit, put the Holy Spirit in. We went down there, cried, sniffed, nodded a little bit, came on back. Never missed a beat. And then 3 weeks later, find out our life changed. We didn't even know it happened. So the technology of our God and the excellence and supremacy of their world, no, we've not seen it, but we're going to see it. We're getting ready to get bigger and fragments and greater glimpses of it in the days to come. And you need to get yourself ready. You need to be ready to step away from what destroys so that you can become part of the solution that restores. Because that's what God wants to do in this time. God wants to talk to us, and he's trying. He's working hard. And half of us, we can't even hear God because we're too busy begging, pleading, asking, petitioning. We can't even hear that God is like, I can give you a loaf of bread, but what if I teach you to do what I did and to bring bread out of your own spirit, out of your own soul? That's not outlandish. It's only outlandish to those who are prevented from doing it. For us, oh, yes. God wants to show you that in his world, they don't need to run out to McDonald's. Ain't nobody running up and down a restaurant. They gather to fellowship. They gather to commune. They gather to share and partake of each other's company and all of that. But they're not, oh, no, are you kidding? What if you got the vision? When Jesus came, that's what he did. And he came to do that as fallen Adam. Because when he came back, he was already back into their other dimension. And I would love for us to grow up and get beyond Daddy, can I, Daddy, will you, and Daddy, may I, and Father, please, and Dad, give. I would love for us, at least let the nucleus, there's a nucleus that he's working on, and some of you listening to me right now are part of that nucleus, and you know it. This is making such sense to you, you can't even believe it. Some of you, your spirit is leaping all over the place because you thought you were insane, then you thought you were being too mystical, then you didn't even know what to think. But for that nucleus, God has a people, a group that's going to stand up and show the true powers of the age to come. That's what Paul understood, the powers of the world to come, the powers of the age to come. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going on record to say this because, well, I'm already out here. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. You can find, I don't care what New Age say. New Age is nothing but old age remain. Those are not new devils. They're the same devils. They were fornicating back. They're going to tell you how old the Bible is. They were fornicating back then, and Jesus is the only reason that it stopped. They were raping kids. They were little babies were being molested by their parents. That's not new. People have being free to swap around, etc. That's not new. There is nothing new about somebody stopping on the side of the road, sleeping with somebody, having sex with somebody they don't know, nobody washed nothing, nobody cleaned nothing, go back on down the road and do it again and again. That's not new. Unclean, but not new. There is nothing new about killing people. There's nothing new about devils tormenting folks. There's nothing new about demons running around. There is nothing new about that. There is nothing new about wickedness. There's nothing new about evil. There ain't nothing new about witches. There ain't nothing new about devils. There is nothing new under the sun. That's not new. You and me, we are the new. We are the new age. We are the new people. We are doing something different because we are not here to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're here for life, and we're here for restoration. We're here to deliver the suffering creation that's groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God. What's new? Jesus was new in the planet. What's new was that you weren't going to have, a man wasn't going to have 15 wives, 15 women with no identity, no purpose, no value, and you got to have a roulette to sleep with your husband. Who's going to spin the wheel tonight? That is ridiculous. But that's not new. It is not new for people to go and debase themselves in all these kinds of ways. I don't care how much lipstick they put on. What they're showing us is not new, and it's not liberating. Because anything that you cannot feel comfortable doing unless you are pleasing someone, that's not liberation. It is not new. And I don't care how pretty they gloss it over on the screen, those of us in the trenches, our kids are not living that. They don't have Hollywood saying cut when 15 people, 15 boys are running in their behind. They don't have Hollywood saying cut so you don't see the consequences. What's new is you and me. That's why we are the new creation. That's why we have the new covenant. That's why we have the new day. See, new came with us. All of that is that's just devil mundane. That's routine. There's nothing special about it. There's nothing liberated about it. And you look at it on television, whatever, you're not there for the smells. You're not there for the uncleanness. You're not there for the consequences. Because, see, you don't get that. You just get the picture. But the reality of that, not new. We are who God is going to use. And I'm telling you, and I say this because a lot of saints and a lot of prophets, you all are buying into that. You're buying into it. I mean, you're in relationships that are debasing you to no end after this man shed his blood and set you free. You're sitting there going to tell people about Jesus Christ that he can't even sanctify you, and you're going to sit there and speak to his people. You're sitting there talking about me and my man, me and my boyfriend and my girlfriend, and you're sitting there doing the very old things that he gave his life to die for. Now, God, are you kidding me? That stuff destroyed those people back then. Why is it going to help us today? And he said, but I gave you power to do the new things, to do things our way, and to be a solution our way. It is not God's will that you get your heart broken 15 times in 15 months. That is not God's way, and that's not life. You're not going to tell me that's life. It is not God's way that you get kicked to the curb and treated like garbage 20, 30 times in your life and still end up dying alone. That is not God's way. He said, I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. It is not what you're seeing and what you're chasing. That's not new. And if you read your Bible, you would know it's not new. You would know that God took out Israel because Eli's boys were on a hill fornicating with the women who came to worship God in the temple. That's not new. See, there's nothing new they're offering you. And the reason that you can't get anything new from this world because the spirit of this world is shut out of God's world. So you can't get new. You have to go back to the old. That's why when you start dealing with all of those dark arts, everything, they dark for a reason. They got to go back to old. Go back to the dark. Go back to before there was electricity. Go back to when people lived in caves. Go back to when there was no heat. There was no air. There was no light. Come on. We got to go back because forward is in Christ. because the only one who can take you forward is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he came from the future. He came from the end of time to back up and get us. We're special. We're special because we are part of what always was. We're special because we're the offspring of what started this thing. And God wants you to know that I'd like to visit some of you. I want to talk with some of you. I want to share. I want to open up some things that I have hidden in you. There are some packets of powers in each and every one of us spirits that God can't even open up because, well, he's got to get us aware. He's got to get us awakened for it. But he does nothing without a purpose. So you say, well, why did you mention all of those things? Because God does nothing without a purpose. Nothing without a purpose. And God is provoked by opposition. And the opposition of his enemy is what he's dealing with right now. So I mentioned those things because those are the issues that he's dealing with right now. I need you all, says God. I need you to distinguish the holy from the profane, the clean from the, I need you all to be my priest. A lot of saints don't even know Malachi says that. We know Malachi, pay your tithe. But we don't know Malachi 2 said the lips of a priest should keep knowledge and people should think, seek the law of the Lord from that. We don't know that. We don't know that in Leviticus, God talks about that the priest exists to demonstrate for the world what is clean and what's not, what's holy and unholy, what's profane and what is. We don't know that. Half of us talk about we the new creation priesthood. We don't even know what a priest of God is supposed to do. We're not living like one. And God wants us to do that. Why? He needs some generation. He needs something from this thing. He wants a harvest, God said. And ministers are supposed to help you get a harvest. So if we don't harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ, then who are we harvesting for? Because the principle of ministry is that you harvest for a deity. That's the foundational principle for ministry, that you harvest for a deity. So you have to ask yourself, what deity are you harvesting for? Because that's what it's based on. You are harvesting the natural world to surrender it for God's world. Isn't that what Jesus is doing? It says, but when all things have been brought on his feet, he said, then the Son himself will take everything he gathered and surrender it to the Father. These are real principles. I know you all might think I'm speaking abstract, and I'm thinking, I'm not. This is Bible. I don't get out of Scripture. It's too good, it's too right, and it works too well, so I don't have to visit anybody else's sacred text. I don't have to read anybody else's whatever. I've done that bit. That's why I ended up with Jesus. They all auditioned, and Jesus won me. And that's why I stay with him. But I'm telling you, power is coming, and God said, but you need to be trained to wield it. You need to be trained to conceal it, to reveal it, and conceal it from those that shouldn't have it. But you also need to be trained to harvest with the strength that he's getting ready to give you. Some of you, I see you getting pictures in your mind. God is giving you visions in your mind. You see it, and you're like, God, could that be me? Is that me? Is that the Lord? Could that be Jesus? Uh-huh. You're going to learn him in a new way because we still have not met. We've not touched the surface of the true resurrected Jesus Christ because we're still dealing with the guy who walked on dirt ground with the donkeys. We've not gotten into the guy who became flesh or the guy who returned to the throne. And those are the two things that you have to learn once you get finished with the cross, once you're born again. So I just felt like, you know, I asked God all day long, all morning, God, what is it that you want me to share with your people? What is it that you need them to hear? And God said, I need you to hear my heart. I need my children to come home. I need my family in my house. I need my house clean, purged, and sanctified. I need my children knowing that I am God. I need my elder children helping the younger ones find their way. I need my family to trust and believe in me. But most of all, I need you all to buy into my brand and stop rebranding me according to the eras of mankind. I need you all to believe I am he. Isaiah says it's so beautiful. I believe it's Isaiah 48 says, but you know, you are my witnesses that I am God. We are the reason people know. And God says he is not just God in word. He said, I want to show my strength in you, through you. I want to move by power again. I'm sick of my children laying up here dying from cancer. I'm sick of my family all on chemo. I'm sick of them in one disease after another. I'm sick of them bound to chairs, oxygen tanks, and all of that. That is not God's will for his family. Jesus did not give his life for that. but we have to play by the rules. We got heaven rules and we got earth rules. And right now we're playing by earth rules and it's killing us. So we need to learn heaven rules and begin to play by those. Hallelujah. Prophet Ashley.
Wow. That was quite a bit to think about there. Very well said. In very plain English, you made a statement about the opposition of his enemy is what God's dealing with right now. And I think what a major piece that's missing in our contemporary expressions and renditions and teachings and trainings about Christianity is all of these rules and guidelines and everything that we like to slap the term legalism on is because of God's enemies. And primarily Satan is number one enemy. And we don't think about that just like children. I can see why God calls us kids, because we are about as narrow-minded as children are. The only reason our parents say no is, I hate you. You don't want me to have fun. You don't want me to have a good time. And they're like, I don't want you to get raped in the street tonight. That's why I need you home by 9 o'clock. But all the kids can think about is the fun that they can't have and their friends that they think are having more fun than them, by appearance sake only. And that's about what we do to God. He tries to keep us in guidelines and rules and laws for our safety and protection, and more importantly than that, the preservation of his kingdom and the integrity of his own righteousness. And we immediately hit the legalism button. We hit the can't do button. We hit the extreme button. You just don't want me to enjoy. You don't want me to have fun. God is love and all these other things, never thinking that our fight for our libertinism is really what is his primary problem anyway, of eroding his kingdom and bringing the work of his son down to nothing. And so when you were talking about that, I thought, yeah, see, that's a significant missing piece in this puzzle, I believe, in Christianity and Christians getting a grip on their Christianity, and also defending the faith. See, it's a different thing altogether when you start talking about defending the faith and in relationship to God's enemies, and not your God just gives you a list of do's and don'ts. Actually, he's given us a profile, and he's laying it out for how his enemy's going to take him out. So that's one of the primary things that stuck out. I have a long list, but I'll stick with that.
just a primary, you got a long list.
I do.
but you know the hallmark of our child, and you use the children very well as an example, but the hallmark, the greatest mark of a child is selfishness. They start at self, and they can't really deal with anything but self. You know, having raised three children and brothers and sisters and all of that kind of stuff, I understand it, because kids can't. You know you've grown up in God when you're interested in what God's interested in, when you're interested in his life and his experience, and not just because you want to be a religious, you know, a religious rhetoric. I just want to go talk about all the religions. But when he is no longer just an institution, he's no longer just rules and regulations, but you start realizing this man is contending with some stuff. He's dealing with some real things. Wait a minute, because if we can't get, you know, the childlike mind that says, oh, mom and dad, they can do anything they want, and they make us go to bed, and they don't have to do this, and nobody tells them what to do. If we can't get that out of the saint, they are never going to appreciate the responsibilities and duties and obligations that the Most High has, not only to them, but to all of the works of his hands. God has duties. He's got obligations. He's got responsibilities. He brought things into existence, and now he has to take care of it. He can't, you know, God just can't, you know, kill what he brought into existence. You can get us out of the body, but we don't die, which is why he created hell or heaven, because everything he brought into existence lives forever. And so he's got to manage it. He's caught up in his own success. He's caught in the grip of his own success. He doesn't get a chance to back down. He doesn't get a chance to say, oh, wow, this was bad. I shouldn't. It's here. Now what's plan B? Because plan A was we brought it into existence. Now what's plan B? And so we have to think bigger. And not everybody is. One of the things about an apostolic and prophetic age and era is that it deals with the person and guards the institution. But when you're dealing with the other kinds of other ages, the other offices, they're dealing with the people. So they're always working with the product. and ignoring the process and the problems. We're just working with the product. The product is we got a church. Product is we've got saints. We've got Christianity. But that's not because we remember, we are them ones, and we're the kingdom surrounding the church. And because as long as God's kingdom is safe, which is why Jesus preached kingdom more than anything else, the church is safe. And when the kingdom is at risk, the church is under threat. And that's where we are today. And so it's God who has to, I got to take care of this. I've got to make sure there's a planet for all of the people that I put into other bodies, for every seed that I put in another seed, so that the last one that I promised my son was his inheritance gets into the planet, gets saved, gets sanctified, and makes it into the family. That is where God is. He's got to make his word work. He doesn't get a chance to say, "Ooh, boy, that was a bad call. Huh? Oh, well, you know, huh, better luck tomorrow." He can't say, God doesn't ride on luck. He never started any creation until he had lived it all. So he could, from the end of it all, he came back and created everything. And so God wants us to know that he said, be no more children. Let's not just make this about our candy, our cake, and our ice cream. Yeah, we have needs, and God cares about them. But when you grow up in God, you don't have to ask a whole lot. You'll always pray, but you'll probably pray more for others, because as you take care of his business, God's going to take care of yours. As you break God through, he's going to break you through. As you bring a harvest to God, God's going to bring a harvest to you, because that's the principle of creation. Hallelujah. Hey, prophet.
Amen. When the kingdom is at risk, the church is under threat. Hard to ponder.
Yeah, because right now, you know, you breach a kingdom, then you could tear up the village. You breach that king's wall, you have access to the village. And the church is like the village of the kingdom. And so our kingdom wall hedge has been breached, and the church is under threat. Mm. And unless we can stop the inrush from the breach, we're going to have a problem. But we have to think bigger to understand that. And we have to think bigger than what happens on Sunday morning when all is at rest. We're going to have to think bigger. And I think we're going to think bigger, Ashley. I really believe that God has a people. Some of you all listening to me today, call in and tell me if God's been talking to you along those lines. Sometimes, I mean, I'm going to pray for your needs, but sometimes can we give God a few moments? I think we need to call in our prophet. We might have to pull her down off the wall, peel her out the closet. I don't know. But let's call her in anyhow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I think you have to peel me from all those places. Good morning, Paula Price Show audience. I hope that you guys have been enjoying the program. You've been listening to Paula Price Show, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price. Show. If you're just now tuning in, you are getting just a taste of powerful exhortation today. And we want to welcome you, of course. We're getting ready to jump into our second hour, but my God, can we just give him a praise right now? I have to just praise him, Dr. Price. I've been praising him on the other side and really thanking him for telling us the truth. I love that about this program. If you're just joining in with us, you know, that first hour of power-packed truth is just the thing that people look forward to every single Thursday. So thank you for that. I think my favorite quote, and then we'll talk about some announcements, you talked about earlier. Well, I don't know how to pick a favorite because there's so many, but when you were first starting your exhortation, you said that God does not want to wrestle you to rule you. And I think that's so important because we can almost get accustomed to playing this little game with God and not really revering him as sovereign in our lives. And I think that's a dangerous place to be. So I thank you for bringing what you brought out today. We want to say hello to our Twitter audience today. We want to say hello to our Facebook audience. Thank you so much for posting your thoughts, for letting us know that you're listening. We value you so much. If you haven't been following Dr. Price on Facebook or Twitter, you just want to go to facebook.com or twitter.com/Dr. Paul Price, and that's DR for the doctor there, and you can connect with Dr. Price on social media. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. We love reading how this show is impacting you. We also love reading how the books are impacting you, or if you attended one of our live events, how that has changed you. So make sure you get on facebook.com or twitter.com and let us know your thoughts. If you're listening right now and Dr. Price just completely rocked your world with what she said today, go online. Let us know. Let us know what you think about everything that she has spoken and the things that God has been speaking to you on the same subject, because we want to hear from you. Just a few announcements that we want to give you while you're on the line. Again, you're listening to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. And if you want to tell a friend or two how they can get connected with the show and you're listening online, they can call 646-478-5250, 646-478-5250, if they want to get on the line and talk to Dr. Price. If you're listening online right now and you have a prayer, get on, talk with us, 646-478-5250. And when you get on, press 1 so that you can get an opportunity to share with Dr. Price what's on your heart today. All right. As you heard at the beginning of the program, Dr. Price is going to be in Florida next week. Starting next week, she's going to be in the Fort Pierce area at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center with Apostle Trevor Banks. And we want you to be a part of that if you're going to be in the Florida area next week. You can find out more details in 2 places. You can visit online, www.trbanks.com, or you can call the ministry 772-465-0036. That would be Resurrection Life Family Worship Center in Florida. So you can get details on how you can be a part of Dr. Price's speaking engagement there. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time in Florida. So if you're close to that area, don't miss it. Make sure you're a part of that. I believe it's starting Thursday. She'll be speaking Thursday next week. So it's going to be a powerful time. Again, you can visit www.trbanks.com for information on how you can register to be a part of that event. She is going to be heading to Connecticut in September, but before she gets to Connecticut, we're going to be up in Chicago for the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit that kicks off the 21st of August, and that is going to be an amazing time. Listen, if you are in the Chicago area, you really don't want to miss out on the Chicagoland Summit. It is its own unique event. It's always a powerful time. We're going to be up there August, that about third week of August, starting the 21st, and it's going to be powerful. You can call the host ministry there. The host ministry is going to be Antioch Christian Assembly, and you can give them a call, 815-727-0122. I'll say that number one more time, 815-727-0122. You can give them a call to find out how you can get registered for the Chicagoland Summit. Again, that's going to be kicking off right there in August, August 21st. So we're going to be up there, the whole crew. We want to meet you. We want to shake your hand. We want to hug your neck. So if you listen to the program, we want to speak to you. Make sure that you join us for the Apostolic Summit in Chicago. In September, Dr. Price will be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Apostles' House, and that's going to be an exciting time as well. That's the 19th of September. So if you're in the East Coast, that event is definitely for you. You want to make sure that you're a part of that. You can visit the Apostles' House online so that you can get more details. You can also visit us at drpaulaprice.com. And on the homepage, click that link that says add me to your mailing list. That's how we're going to get you all the information that you need to know about where Dr. Price will be next and if she's coming to us near you. Now, speaking of drpaulaprice.com, you want to make sure that you visit us. If you're listening now, and for those of you who are going to be on with us listening to the playback later, visit drpaulaprice.com and make sure that you get your copy of Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. That book is scheduled to be released the fall of 2014 this year. It's going to be, I have to tell you, I've been able to read the portions of the book that Dr. Price has allowed me to read. And let me tell you what, it is a powerful, powerful book like nothing she has ever written before. It is going to blow your mind, the answers that you're going to find about everything that was going on before we have the beginning, and really getting to God's heart on eternity, what he has in mind for us, what he had in mind for us. And it kind of takes you right to the heart of how he thinks about things as they transpired in heaven and as they transpired here on earth. So it's a powerful look into God's perspective. I've never read an author that can write from his perspective the way Dr. Price can. You do not want to miss your opportunity to grab this book. Right now we're taking pre-orders. The paperback is $21.99. The book is $16.99. So visit drpaulaprice.com so that you can get your copy of Before the Garden. All the pre-orders receive a special CD with excerpts from the book and also the interviews that our editing team has done on the book, so you can find out all about it with a special introduction from Dr. Price herself. So you don't want to miss that. Visit drpaulaprice.com. So also that you can get your copy. Last but certainly not least, we want to get some listener shout-outs. We thank you so much for listening to the program. I want to read a shout-out from Robin B. this week. She had such a powerful testimony of how the show last week impacted her life. She said, the July 10th Blog Talk Show was hitting it directly on the head for me today. Since I started listening to your shows, I have had so much clarity on just my own self and why I am the way I am. Truth be told, there have been many times in my life where I just thought I was crazy and could not possibly be hearing what I was hearing or seeing what I was seeing. Now I know better. I plan to take your assessment online, and I look forward to your shows on Thursday. I go back and listen to past shows, and I am so grateful for them. Thank you, Dr. Paul Price, for your ministry. Keep doing what you're doing. This is real encouragement for me, Robin B. Thank you so much, Robin. You're an encouragement to us. Keep on listening to the program. Tell a friend, be empowered, and be changed. A few other shout-outs from Lucy B. She says, Dr. Price, you are truly a blessing. From Linda M., she says, Apostle Paul Price is coming to Connecticut. Yay! And Linnell T. says, love it, love it, love it. We thank you all. We love you. We love your comments. And we just want to give, of course, a shout-out. Thanks to Brendan R., Monica R., Diana M., and Pat J., and so many others for your retweets this week. Thank you for spreading the word. Thank you for being on the wall. There's so many others. We just don't have time in the program to list everybody. But we're hearing you. We're looking out for your comments. We're reading them. You all are touching lives. So thank you for sharing and letting us know how the show is impacting you. Don't forget. Visit drpaulaprice.com so you can get your copy of Before the Garden. Find it where Dr. Price is going to be next. And, of course, spread the word about the Paula Price Show. You've been listening to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and we'll see you online.
Well, thank you, Prophet Adia, for always keeping us in the loop and keeping us in the know on what is going on in the ever-increasing and expanding Paula Price world. Dr. Price, what do you want to do next on your show?
Well, I think that we can have a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we're taking calls. Now, listen, callers, first of all, hit that one. I want to talk to you. Now, I know sometimes you think, well, gee, I don't know if I'll get through, but listen, because sometimes we cover, somebody else covers your issue, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't hit that one and get in. I know that God gives me specific counsel, Ashley, before the show so that I know, kind of understand some of the calls that are coming through. It always amazes me, too, Ashley, that you land on those calls most times. But, hey, click. And when you do so, do me a favor today. Share with me a little bit about what you've gotten from the show if you're a repeat caller, but also tell me, is God doing something different with you? Not just healing your body or delivering you from your latest, you know, bondage or whatever. Those are needful. We need that. We're going to pray for that. But is God doing something unusual? Are you getting a flicker or glimmer of his future use and interaction with you? If you're one of two of those people, I just want to hear one of two of you say that today. If you don't get through today, do me a favor. Send it to me on Facebook. I'm interested. I listen. I also read my Facebook, and some of you all know it because I answer you, you know? And so I read my Facebook because, to me, I'm a minister. If I'm harvesting for God, you're part of my harvest, then I need to hear you, and I need to make sure that what you need to get to the Lord does so unimpeded. Some of you all, you know, we were taught over the years, Ashley, well, if I got the Holy Ghost, I could do what you do. Well, obviously, that bird has come down. Somebody has shot him down. Because truth be told, you have busy lives. You have families. You have children. You have full-time jobs. You have responsibilities. Even if the capacity was there for you to do it, and it is, you may have the capacity, but the ability, the latitude, the time, the efforts, and whatever it takes to wade through all that we wade through to make sure that we filter this from God for you and vice versa, you don't have it. That's why he has ministers. It's not because he can't speak through anybody. It's because it's efficient for God to have that group that can get back to you what you need. So, yeah, you can hear from God, and you should. When it comes to your devotional life, I hope you all pray. I want you to pray. I pray for your prayer life. But understand that I serve a different purpose in your connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. That purpose is very different. It's very official because I am here to help him mediate and execute that covenant. See, we are the covenant executors. That's what we do as ministers. And so we are, it's our job to know the covenant, know where you are in it. That's part of what we do. And so that is why I do this every week. I want you to get through. And the fact of the matter is, many of us, quietness is kept. Many people may not tell you, I've been praying for this for 10, 15 years. What if you can get somebody who can get you through in 10, 15 minutes? That's what I like to do on the Paula Price Show. So, Ashley, let's get just a brief break, and let's come back.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as his kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they're not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word, you're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
This is Liz Montgomery commenting on Dr. Paula Price's book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. When I read these writings, it felt like a college semester of education on the eternal. Being constantly reminded of the physical world around us and the linear nature of time, embedding myself in this writing not only refreshed my perspective, but it educated me on the semantics of how and where my Father, God, exists. It gives new revelation to what we think it just might be like to experience the space within the realm of timelessness that the Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit reside. It also reminded me intellectually and with great depth how our God seeks this mysterious yet vast relationship with each one of us. How we build trust with Him through our faith and unwavering knowing of Him as best we can outside the continuum, while still the mirror is clouded. But again, it is folding yourself into this writing that opens your world to realities of another dimension. Dr. Price has so many years of experience working through the intricacies of living out her calling as a prophet of this ongoing, same yesterday, today, and forever God of ours, that reading this description and instruction she's given us is absolutely eye-opening. Thank you, Dr. Price, for writing this book. It is a truly multidimensional door to grasping the complexities of our Creator.
And we are back for our second hour of the Paula Price Show, live with the one and only irreplaceable Dr. Paula Price.
Were you thinking about replacing me, girl?
No.
I understand. Well, I thank you again. We've had a good first hour. I'm ready for my call. So, Ashley, who do I have on the line first this week?
First in line this week is Andrea from Texas. And she is calling Dr. Price because she needs prayer concerning her husband's job. And then she has a very good question for you. It's about prophetic protocol. And the question is, if your prayer partner is a prophet and they receive a word for someone else, is it proper protocol for you as that friend to actually relay that prophetic word to your friend, or does the prophet have to do it themselves? So, Andrea from Texas, welcome to the call. Prayer for her husband's job, and then the question about prophetic protocol.
Thank you so much, Prophet Ashley. Good afternoon, Dr. Price.
Good afternoon, Andrea. It's good to hear from you. How's it going in Texas?
It's going well. I'm excited. I've taken the ministry assessment test, and just excited to hear back about that. You said something today that just really blew my mind, that kind of answered a question about God wanting to upgrade his ministers. And I've been feeling that, but didn't know how to communicate it in words. just concerned about, you know, you have someone, a mentor in your life, but they are not wanting to grow past where they are, and so where does that leave you? And then just a lot that's going on in the spirit, you know, that I can't really comprehend with my intellect right now. And just whatever the Lord would have you to say to me, just ready to hear from the Lord.
Amen. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is that if I'm understanding the prophetic protocol question correctly, you're saying that your prayer partner got the word for a friend of yours?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I did understand it correctly. But the prayer partner doesn't want to deliver it directly?
Well, I was told because, you know, I consider her a mentor in my life, you know, you need to tell this person that. And I didn't, because I wasn't for sure if that was kingdom order, because it's like secondhand information. And it was a very word that would probably come across offensive. And then, you know, maybe this was an assumption, maybe it's a wrong assumption, but it was kind of like, you know, if I tell this person that, then it may not come across as a word from the Lord, but, you know, you're talking about me. And so,
right.
And then also, you know, I just, what do you do if this mentor, because I'm reaching out to learn more about the apostolic and prophetic, and they're telling me, you know, God's equipped you with everything and you've got everything at your home. And I'm like, you know, that bothers me because it's like, you know, culturally we don't want to expand. We just want, you know, Holy Spirit download everything, and we don't want to reach out to, because I don't understand about the apostolic. I know I've been called to it, you know, but it's like she doesn't want me to grow and reach out to someone else. And that bothers me because I know God is going to teach me more.
Well, let's pull this apart. You've got a lot going on there, so let's sort it out a little bit so that I can address it for you. The first thing I'd like to say is that if you've submitted to this woman as a mentor, you've given her an authority over your life, then you pretty much have said, I'm going to follow your instructions. That's what mentorship means. So if you choose not to do that, then you need to reset that relationship.
Okay.
So that's my first thought. Now, let's say you're in a unique position. Now, let's go. I've handled that. I'm on a tick sheet here. So you're in a unique position right now, Andrea, because the person that she wants you to minister to is your friend. Now, that alters a lot, because if she feels that you need to give that word, then I would wonder, is she exploiting your friendship? Or does she have access to this person? Because if she has access to this person, then she needs to not put your friendship at risk because she got a word from God.
Okay.
Now, if she doesn't have access to this person, here's the next alternative. You can arrange for them to meet if you have access. So let's say she has this word, and you're like, first of all, I don't feel like it's my place to give it. I feel like I'm too close to the situation, which is, you're right about your concern. You might be too close to the situation to be the messenger.
Okay.
And if God wanted you to get the word, give the message, he would have given it to you. He didn't give it to you for whatever his reasons. So if this word is accurate, and I want to say, let me preface this, parenthetically, if this word is accurate, now and I'll finish, then, because it needs to be accurate, and I'll tell you why I have concerns about the word without even knowing what it is. But if this word is accurate, then you being that close to it could cause it to be disparaged or despised, and you don't need that. If she feels that the word is an official communication from God to your friend, then she needs to make arrangements to give the word herself because it is your friend. Now, if she can't make connection, then her job with you was to say, how can I reach your friend, or can you set up a meeting between me and your friend? I have gotten words. A Prophet Ashley can share testimony about how I've gotten words for her friend. I don't know if it's on one time, but I'm in prayer. God gives me the word. Well, the only conduit to get this word from my level and dimension of prophetics to this friend was Prophet Ashley. So she made it happen. Now, she just dropped the seed, but if the word had been controversial, I would not have left that for her to do, because I would not jeopardize her relationship and her friendship simply because I don't have the courage to speak it face to face.
Thank you very much.
So now I want to tell you where I am with this word.
Okay.
You introduced your concerns about this situation by saying you felt that your mentor was inadequate where you wanted to go, or that you piqued her. Pretty much. So you've already said that. If this woman is that inadequate, why are you still with her as a mentor?
Well, that's okay. If I could just be, I spoke to her concerning, you know, taking the assessment through your ministry and possibly taking your courses. I've met you a long time ago in 98. I think it was when Pam Bennett was having a conference, and I think you were one of her guests. So I've heard you speak before. I was sharing with her. It wasn't like, you know, I just, you know, saw you on the internet. I've been to some of your conferences before, and I said, I need training. I'm going to a church that's not prophetic and apostolic. This lady doesn't live, you know, in the area of Texas I live, and I really feel all alone. And sometimes I do feel like I'm crazy. There's a lot of things going on in my spirit. It's like I can't pray in English anymore. God keeps me in tongues all the time. I'm on the prayer team at the church. I was recognized by the person that's over the prayer team that, you know, God had sent me there, that God was going to use me there, which was already confirmation to what God had already told me. However, you know, it's like I'm stifled because, you know, they only want you to go so far, you know, in the spirit. And so I just really feel like I'm at a loss, and I know I need training. I know I need training. And so I've kind of backed away from my mentor. The problem is I love her. I love her with all of my heart. But I'm backing away from her because it's like when I told her I wanted to reach out for more training and more education, you know, she comes back with, well, so what? You just want a piece of paper? And you know, coming from the background that I came from the AME church where, you know, God literally took me to Tulsa to open up my eyes to the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've had a lot of things happen, you know, in between there. But, you know, Dr. Price, I know that a lot of things that is going on with me, you're answering, and I've been listening to, you know, the other teachings you have on Blog Talk Radio, and it's just my spirit is literally leaping every time I listen to you. And so I just feel like I need more training, and I feel like she's wanting to hold me back from that. And it's hurtful because I do love her. And so
let me answer this. I want to say this to you. Love and profession have nothing to do with each other. You can continue to love this woman. You can continue to have coffee, et cetera, with her, but you're going to have that hard conversation. I am going to move forward in my prophetic development. I would love to keep our relationship together. I'd love to keep it intact. We can talk, whatever, but this is off the table. Now, if judging from the character of the person you're describing, that's not going to happen. So let's get real. You can make the overture, and you should, because there's a proper way to do things, but do it
right,
realizing that it's not going to happen. So that's the first thing. Second thing, she's not trying to hold you back. She is at her max, and she knows she's at her max. Whenever your mentor starts telling you, go talk to Jesus, you need to know that they are at their max. I need you to go, I can't tell you anymore. You just go get it from God. But if I could have gotten it from God, I wouldn't have spent all of this time with you.
Right.
So let's clear that up. Now, Jesus himself said in Luke, I believe it's Luke's Gospel 6:40. If I'm wrong, please check it out. But he said a disciple is not above his master, which means you will never exceed in your program, whatever your academic readiness is, whether it's ministry or whatever. You will never exceed the person who is presently teaching you. As a matter of fact, schools do not get one-on-one teachers. If a student and a teacher are equal, then the teacher's a tutor. You're going to tutor because you need to be a couple of years ahead of your class. How are you going to take somebody into a place of knowledge that you've not learned? So your tutors, we're teaming. So that's the next thing I want you to know. Jesus Christ said it is imprudent to have a mentor who is equal to or less than you. He said you will, because it's going to stagnate your growth. Now, that's wisdom from the Almighty. I think he ought to know, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next thing I want to tell you. Now, I want you to think about this. If you got a call tomorrow, Andrea, and they said, I have a position for you. It's going to pay you $10,000 a year over what you're making right now, and it's going to require you to do something that you've not done, but we're willing to train. Would you get on the phone and call people to ask them, should you get training?
No, I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you?
There would be no need to. If the opportunity presented itself, I'm sorry.
Why would there be no need to?
Because the opportunity is there, and they're going to train me, and it would be beneficial for me and my family.
Okay, but now you have, no, we're still there, but the job you're in, They're telling you, we're going to let you do the same job. We're not going to give you the money, and we can't offer you the training, but we don't really think you can do it underneath the training. We think you can pretty much pick it up and catch it along the way. What decision would you make?
I guess I'm not understanding your question.
My question to you is, if the company you were working for today offered you the same job but told you, we don't need to give you any training, we think you can pick it up along the way, even though it's two levels of complexity beyond where you are, what would you do? Would you stay to pick it up along the way?
No, ma'am. I would try to gain training and knowledge on the position that they're offering me. I would elsewhere to be trained.
But that's what the point is. You, when it comes to these secular skills and anything that's not to do with God or ministry, there's no question about it. I need training. I need to be good. I don't need to fail in this job. I don't need to make my company look bad. I don't need to give people bad service. I don't need to give substandard this or substandard that. Those things are built in our brain. But what's built in our brain about God is that God nor his people deserve the best. That is why your mentor is angry, because she doesn't think God deserves the best, because we think just because God uses us substandard that he trusts us to take him forward because we're substandard. God doesn't.
Okay.
If God will use a toddler to do toddling things, he'll use a teen to do teen things, he'll use an adolescent to do adolescent things. But when he wants to do big things, he goes to his masters.
Right. Amen.
So just because God doesn't put somebody out to pasture doesn't mean he's thrilled by what they're doing. He's just letting them do the work that they're suited to do. Somebody's got to pick up the slack. So I want to tell you, and I'll say to everybody listening, write it down. If you have a mentor who is equal to or less than you that is not a mentor, that is a sounding board.
Got it.
So you've got somebody to give you some advice. We have to know the difference, Andrea, between a mentor and an advisor and a counselor and a teacher and a trainer and a tutor. And this woman is nothing more than a tutor to you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to tell you, you took the assessment. I'm assuming you're ready to sign up for training. And I think the saddest statement that you made about this woman is that she just concluded that all you were going to get from here was a piece of paper without investigating it. The prophets are known for knee-jerk rejection. That is normal for the prophet's mantle. We are always going to have knee-jerk rejections of a matter that we've not heard, because we live so much on God giving it to us directly that we don't think there's any other way to gather information or gather intelligence. We're known for knee-jerk rejections and snap judgments, and both of which are very scary when you're trying to be good at what you do.
I agree.
So I would have that talk with her, because you don't. Here's where I am. There's a way to leave a mentor. You put her in that station, then you're going to have to leave her from that perspective. There's a way to leave a mentor. There's a way to leave your church. You don't have to have enemies. Now, if they end up with a problem with you, that's their issue. But you do it correctly. You thank her for her time. You thank her for her attention and for what you gain. You find out. You sit down and think of two or three things you did learn from her so that she knows that you did tell her that. But now let her know it's time for you to go to the next level, and that is the will of God concerning you. You thank her. If you can, give her a nice little gift and tell her, I hope our relationship can keep on. But this must be. Because if you've got a mentor, one of the things that you don't want on your life, and a lot of people have this stigma on their life now, when you don't want to have it on your life that you're trifling under God, over God's leaders and over God's trainers. Because I'm telling you, he'll end up putting you under somebody who's horrible. Just because you won't be able to leave.
I agree totally.
So, you know, sit down with her, treat her with the utmost respect. If she taught you three things you didn't know, let her know, I got these three things, and this is what I'm taking from your mentorship with me into my next level. But this is something I must do. Always, if a person's your mentor and you're leaving, I don't care if it's a card, a greeting card, or whatever, always try to leave a parting gift.
Okay, got it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, do I have to answer another question? You had something else on your mind, or can we pray?
Just the reason why, it's like when I go into my prayer time, normally the Lord wakes me up around 3. And when I, you know, when I go into prayer, it's like I can't pray in English long. It's like he keeps me in tongues. And, you know, sometimes he interprets, sometimes, you know, he speaks as I'm praying in tongues or as I'm worshiping him. You know, he will speak things to me. And just trying to understand just where he has me, I guess.
Well, the reason God does that is because he's more inseminating than he's revelating. So he doesn't really need your intelligence for what he's about to do. He's literally crafting and programming your spirit for what he wants. He needs your intelligence offline because he doesn't need you to tap into it and to attempt to handle it prematurely. So he's got your understanding unfruitful while he's working and building in your spirit. That is normal.
Okay.
And so since you are being made right now, God, you are in making mode. He's making you. Since that's where you are, then he is literally filling and fueling and inseminating, stocking your spirit with what he's getting ready to take you into so that you're prepared.
Okay.
So rejoice in that. Have fun. Because that's just where he is. And I'll tell you something. I do want you to get classes and training because the worst thing to be is a prophet out there all alone, particularly in this highly charged spiritual climate that we have today, because it makes you ripe for divination. It makes you ripe for seduction and deception. So you do need a strong mentor, which is why you want a mentor who is at least 5 years ahead of you. Every mentor should be no less than 5 years ahead of you. Otherwise, you don't have a mentor. You have a partner.
Got it.
So I just want to say that because anything less than 5 years, what good is it? You know what I mean? You're going to have moments. You're going to hit where they are in that third year, and then they can't take any further. They cannot help you get where you have to go because you need somebody who can not only answer your questions. This is such a good point that your mentor is not supposed to just answer your questions. That's just an advisor. Your mentor is not supposed to just handle your issues. That's just a counselor. Your mentor is supposed to bring you into the very place you're going, you're headed in them. You don't even want a mentor who is not in the sphere that you're in or in the call of the, you know, the prophetic that you're in. So you need to have a broad-based mentor, but your mentor is also supposed to be that person who more than educates you, who transforms you, who refines you, who grooms you and informs you, and who also tries you. Because I'm going to tell you something, and here's the last word I'll speak on this, and I feel God is telling me to say it. If your mentor is shy, then you're going to get somebody who doesn't confront. That is going to be a very abusive mentorship because their timidity is going to cause them to lash out or to insinuate instead of just explain. So you want to make sure that I have in my book, the Prophet's Handbook has it, and the Divine Order book has it. I have in here how to interview a mentor. You should screen a mentor. You just take a mentor. And mentors, I never take people because they ask me to mentor. I investigate them and tell them to investigate me. And we have a couple of conversations before I say I'll do it. So to me, mentorship is a masterful thing. It's perfect. It's perfectly in line with Scripture. But you need to screen your mentors. You need to be able to ask the right questions and the hard questions. And the one thing you don't want to get is a timid, insecure, inferior mentor, because every seed will bring back fruit after its own kind.
Amen.
So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
I thank you for Andrea. I thank you for her growth. I thank you for her process. I thank you for her development. And, God, I thank you for her discernment. She's very, very insightful. It seems like she has the acuity to see where these things are. Now I'm asking that you give her peace. Cause this transition from her present mentor to her next one to be smooth and sweet. God, cause there to be no friction or tension. Lord, and if there's any way possible or if you see any value in it, I ask that you would preserve the friendship if that's possible. And God, if not, then let them part ways peacefully and harmoniously. I'm asking, God, that you connect her with her next mentor quickly so that she's not left to flounder alone and become prey for all of the spiritual energies and the spiritual agencies that are out there today. I'm asking that you would bless her, God, with peace. I'm asking that you continue to take her where you need her to go. And God, most importantly, I ask that you would bless that mentor for her to get a mentor that she can relate to and she can be developed by also in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so
much. All right,
much.
Now listen, I need you to keep me posted, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You're welcome. God bless you. Hallelujah. Prophet?
Hallelujah. All right, that was good. We have next on the line, returning to the show, Melissa from Kansas. And she has a question about a job opportunity, and as well as she's having difficulty sleeping at night, and so she needs to know what's going on there. Melissa, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hi, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. I understand that you have a job opportunity.
Yeah, I've had several job offers, but they all tried to offer me like $7.25 an hour or $9 an hour and without benefits, or and they're all part-time and stuff. And I know that's not what I've been praying for, so that's the reason why I have turned those down. But the opportunity right now is with Child Start, Head Start, and with that one, I had to change some, just two courses of mine at WSU. I had to change those to online classes so that I could work the schedule out. And just, I have to go back in for another interview, and I'm just needing prayer that it works in my favor, because not only would I have a job for now, but whenever I finish school, after I graduate from nursing, then I could also just move up within that company because they hire nurses too. So that way, what I'm looking for is consistency, just something where I don't have to keep moving from one company to the next.
Well, I understand that. Well, I'm going to pray with you for you to get the job, if that's God's will for you, and I do feel it is. I feel it's a good opening, a good stepping stone for you. So because as I'm talking, I see your feet stepping on the next step. So I'm going to pray for that. Hopefully, usually, though, a second interview is a good thing, you know, so.
Yeah, well, the first one, we didn't complete the first one because she wanted me to see if there was a way to get my schedule changed first before she went ahead and put me in that position, because she wanted to hire me, but we just couldn't go with it yet because at that time, my classes were sitting right on the edge of the beginning of the shift and the other one was sitting at the end of it.
Okay, but here's my concern about that. If they didn't offer you a job, here's my concern. They all, you know, pretty much there is a strong implication of a job simply because she had you alter your life for that reason. So I'm going to have to conclude that the decision has been made to hire you. Otherwise, why would she make that statement that would upset your life? You see what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm going to put
it along. That's why I'm just waiting to hear back from her.
Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, first of all, God, I thank you for Melissa. I thank you that she's going to school and she'll be done and that it's going to work out. And, Lord, I'm asking that the door that you've opened, let no man shut, the job that you've given her, let no one else take. And I thank you for doing it, and let the answer come quickly. And then, God, when she's in there, cause her to have favor with all concern so that she can remain there and progress into the next level that you want her to have. And I bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I did my part. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I've been having trouble sleeping, and I just wanted prayer for that because sometimes it feels like I'm being attacked in my sleep, and I can't wake up. It's like I'm stuck and screaming inside myself trying to wake up, but I can't wake up.
Mm.
And the one last night happened within 20 minutes of me falling asleep, but I felt it when it first started to come on. I felt the weight on me, and I immediately rose up. I couldn't move my arms, but I rose up out of my sleep, and then it was gone. But the one before that.
What do you do before you go to bed?
I was reading the Bible. I was reading the Bible, and I prayed. I anointed myself, prayed over my daughter, and, I mean, that's what I was doing. I did all that. And I actually read the Bible more last night than I have in a while, so which was longer than an hour. But
well, let me pray. But I want to say this. I'm going to pray because obviously something has moved in your neighborhood or in your building. So I don't know how that works out. But oftentimes that happens when new stuff come in and, you know, they were trying to fish around to find out where we are. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now for giving her sweet sleep. I come against that spirit that's assaulting her. God, whatever door she's open, I shut them. Whatever connection she's made, I sever them. Whatever authority she's giving, I revoke it. In the name of Jesus, I bind up this work, and I remand that unclean spirit to the abyss in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. Well, listen, make sure you Facebook us or something to tell us how the job turns out. How's that?
Okay, I'll let you know.
I'd love to know. God bless you.
God bless you also.
Okay.
Well, I think I got time for some more calls. I want to have a couple more.
And I have someone lined up for you. This is Sonia calling from Alabama, Dr. Price. She is calling. She said the beginning of the show really got her thinking, and she needs prayer for growth, personal growth, and also for her family. Sonia, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sonia. Is this your first time calling us?
No, it's not.
Good. All right. So that means we're all friends, huh?
Yes, we are.
Okay, how can I help you?
Well, I was calling in for prayer, you know, for my family, and after listening to the teaching this morning, and you were, you know, talking about growth and upgrading, my spirit could bear witness, you know, to that, and maybe about the last couple of months, I've been kind of hearing in my spirit the scripture where it talks about repentance, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and just, you know, and I also needed, you know, prayer for myself. And I realized that I need, you know, to upgrade, and I need that growth for myself.
Well, yeah. Now, let me ask you, are you in ministry or are you connected with the ministry? And do you have a mentor?
I don't have a mentor, and I am connected to a ministry. Mm-hmm.
Do you do something in the ministry or are you a member?
I started, I pursued some things in ministry, but I found myself kind of backing off from it.
And you're backing off because what? You don't want the additional burden?
I guess for me, I do know that I am, because I've taken your assessment, and I do know that I am prophetic. And my church, we don't really have a program or anything set up, you know, for training for those who are prophetic. And so it's been kind of hard to move forward in that. I kind of feel like sometimes I don't fit in. And it's been very challenging for me as far as ministry.
Well, let me say this to you, Sonia, a couple of things, and I want to say this to all of my prophets listening in. What you need as a member of the body of Christ is not what you need as a prophet. The prophet would be that professional side of you, and we always get professional training elsewhere. So you can work one place and get trained someplace else. Or in the case of the church, you can minister mm-hmm. in your church and serve there, and you could just sit as a good sheep. And be a pastor. You need a pastor to take care of your fundamental Christian life. That's important. But when you want to get trained and developed, it's okay if your church doesn't offer it, that you connect with someone else. I heard you say that you took my assessment. Then why didn't you sign up for a program?
Well, it was financial reasons at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'll go with you on that. But if you're going to ask God for help and you're going to tell God, I want to pray for growth, then you're going to have to commit it to it. So that means you need to find those funds. Because here's what I know about a prophet, and I say this to I tell my prophets, if your mantle can't finance you getting ready, your mantle cannot break anybody else free.
Okay.
So you're going to have to put your prophetic faculties to work to go and get what you need for your development, or I don't know how we're going to get you to grow. To grow where and what, I don't know. And that's what I'm concerned about, because I know you have a call. I'm clear on that. But what I have heard from the body of Christ is that we don't think that that call is for requires us to have to press. Let me tell you about the office of a prophet. The Bible says, you know, believe his prophets and so shall you prosper. See, God wants us to prosper his people. But if we can't prosper ourselves, if we don't know how to use our own faculties to sustain ourselves or make or push ourselves past our own boundaries and our own barriers, how are we going to do that for other people?
Yeah.
And I ask you this question simply because God asked it of me 25 years ago. Okay, so if you can't finance you, how am I going to use you to finance somebody else? If your faith is not strong enough to make it happen for you, then how am I going to do that? So I need you to think differently about who you are and if this is serious. Because if it's not serious, I mean, if you're just talking about I'm looking to be able to prophesy, you know, drop a word here and lay down a word over there now and then if God gives it to me, fine. This whole conversation is, you know, useless. It's futile. But if you are looking to do something serious for God and it sounds to me, Sonia, that you are, then you're going to have to think differently about this, and you're going to have to reshuffle your priorities, and you're going to have to reshuffle some things in your life to make it happen. Otherwise, God's not going to take you seriously.
Okay. I agree. I can see that.
All right. So if are you serious, and do you want us to, you know, because I'll pray a nice, comfortable prayer. I'll pray you feel good in your church. They come, whatever. Or I'll pray you in purpose.
Oh, no, I'm serious. Yeah.
Okay, because, see, I don't pray people in purpose, and then they're playing, because what's going to happen is my prayer is going to send you into trial, and I don't want to do that to you. So, do you want me to just pray for you, a nice sheep in the church?
Oh, no, I'm serious. I mean,
okay.
God has been dealing with me, so I understand totally what you're saying.
Okay, then let's go at it, because I'm going to go after it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Sonia. God, I thank you that you are the God of the prophet. I thank you that you're the God of truth. And I thank you that God, our callings and our gifts with you are not without repentance. So I praise you for that. And this woman is called her. And God, I thank you for continuing to impress upon her how serious it is and how you are expecting her to make the next move to prove her genuineness in your kingdom. So Lord, as she begins to move forward into what you want, I'm asking that you would help her make a way out of no way. I'm asking that you would connect her with the right people, the right program, the right mentors. And then, God, I'm asking that you would anoint her for her training and for the readiness program, hallelujah, that you have for her. And I thank you, Lord, that when you put her on the hook, that you don't take her off. And I thank you that she finishes what she starts so that she can be a vessel meet for the master's use in all regards. And I bless her house, I bless her kids, and any other obstacle that would be used against her, God, I shut it down now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Then you're going to let us know, because I know you're going to get back to me and say, did it, got it, and I'm going to say congratulations.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Perfect.
Amen. All right. We have, moving right along, keeping it on the east side of the country, we have Francine from South Carolina. And Francine is calling in today because she received a new position on her job, Dr. Price, and would like prayer to be successful in that new position. Francine, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much, Prophet Ashley. How are you doing, Dr. Price?
I am fine, Francine. So tell me about this new position. Now, you don't have to tell me the company's name and how much you make. We'll let you keep those two things secret. But tell us about your new position.
Yes, my new position is, it will be a business analyst. In my previous position, I was a programmer analyst / developer for the last 23 years. So over the last couple of years, my company has asked me about moving into this new position, and I've told them no at least 3 times because I didn't want to give up what I was doing. However, on last week, Tuesday, I got a call from my senior most manager that said, we're going to shift you into this position because you've done well on a previous project that I worked on, which I functioned as a business analyst instead of a technical person. So I just want to make sure that I become successful in this new position. I mean, I feel like I will, but I want it secured.
Well, you are a very, very funny lady, and I say that affectionately. And I'll tell you why. Because, A, you already know the job. B, you already knew this was coming. And C, the only reason you're on the phone now is because they took the decision out of your hands. You hate change, and you don't like what we call the learning curve. You don't like the learning curve of new things. That's where you're stuck. You know how to do this, but because it's a new environment, you don't like it. It's not like you don't want the job, because you do. You're excited about the job. You know it's a good move, and you know it's time. But you are really funny, because it's like, yeah, but see, I wasn't sure I was supposed to do this now, because you are not going to push yourself, and God knew that.
That is good. That is, you know what? 10 years ago, I had a dream that I was doing this. When they asked me about it three times, I didn't remember the dream. And I went back and looked at my dream journal, and it was about 10 years ago to the date when they shifted me into this position that I had the dream that I was working on this side. And in the dream, I even kind of fought it, because I said, I'm on the wrong side of the fence in terms of my company. I'm on the business side, but I'm supposed to be on the technical side, because that's what I'd done forever, all of my career at this company. This has been my only professional job, but I am with what you have said.
I know you, because the job is yours. You're going to succeed. I'll pray, because you asked me to pray, but I'm telling you, this is like, you're going to slide into this thing 1, 2, 3, and you're going to do it. And see, you're one of those people, because you won't push yourself. You told God, I'm not going to go after it. I'm not going to push it. If God, if this is your will, you need to put me in it.
Wow. You know, I think that applies to so many areas in my life as well. I appreciate everything you said to the first caller and your last caller, because I really gleaned from that. So I did your prophetic or your ministry assessment, and I do need to sign up with training from you all as well.
So are you telling me that I'm getting a new client? Should I get excited or what?
Yes, ma'am. I am telling you that. I am. I am telling you that. And I should have done it a long time ago, but I've just been in transition this whole year, and this is my third time, I think, talking to you outside of our Facebook conversations.
Well, I'm excited that you're doing it, and it's time for you to stop holding yourself back, waiting for a magic moment. You are such a wonderful lady, but see, you're that person that you're going to go and buy, and somebody's going to give you a phenomenal gift. You're not going to use it because you're waiting for a magic moment. You're going to get these wonderful outfits that just grabbed you. You're going to wait for this magic moment. And I want to tell you that something about the Lord saying to you, take life and enjoy it now.
Yes, ma'am.
And stop putting everything on hold, because there are moments of magic because you made them happen.
Yes, ma'am.
That's his word. Father, I thank you for Francine. God, I thank you for her job. I thank you for her breakthrough. And most importantly, God, I thank you for her love and affection and commitment to you. Now, we give her grace. We anoint her with your grace. We anoint her with your favor. We anoint her with your wisdom, so that as she moves into this thing, that it's a smooth transition, and that she has a great rapport with everyone that she works with, and that your glory and your excellence in her is shines out for all to see. And I give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
Prophet Ashley, I think I got time to squeeze another easy one in. Do you have an easy one, a quick one?
I think I have an easy one, and God heard his prayer. This is James from Alabama. I said she might be able to squeeze you in, so pray hard. And I think the effectual prayer of the righteous is availing much for James today. He is praying for guidance and direction. James, you made it under the wire. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you so much, Prophet Ashley. Bless you, Dr. Price.
Thank you, James. Now, haven't we talked before? Your voice sounds familiar.
No, we actually have not. I've tried to dial in for the past probably month or so, and this is the first time I'm making it through.
You made it. And maybe that's why you sound familiar. I might have been pulling for you, God. How can I bless you today?
Well, honestly, Dr. Price, I just wanted to say the words that you speak every week, you have consistently blown my mind. And I will say, mind is a hard thing to blow. But today you were on it right on. You hit the, I think the expression is the, I don't know what the expression is, the nail on the head. with what the Lord is doing and how he is moving in the body. And I just want to confirm that I see the Lord challenging me in those areas. He's been challenging me in those areas that you spoke about today. He's been challenging me in those areas. And basically the call today is about, like Prophet Ashley mentioned, for guidance and direction. I've got a couple of over the past several years, the Lord has really, really been downloading some things in my spirit as far as business ideas, ministerial ideas, book ideas, and things of that such. I am covered by a local body and have a mentor, and I know that this is the season and this is the time for me to begin to act upon those things that the Lord has been giving me, but I don't know where to start.
Okay, so now, have you had business training?
No, not really.
So you might want to just go to a couple of seminars, you know, little local things in your town to just get a feel for it. I have found, James, that sometimes you need to swim in the pond just so that you can take on the water.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I would tell you to do is make connections. I hear God saying for you, make connections, because you are so analytical, you need to see things, and you are a visual learner, so you need to see things worked out, act out, so that
you can
imitate, because that's how you are, and because you're bright, you grasp it quickly, and you have a very discerning eye, and that discerning eye detects the things that most people miss, and that's something that's been your gift all your life. You know, a couple of times you would just ask God, why do I have to see it? Why do I have to see it, God, all the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I would tell you to do is to connect on the business side, connect ministerially, and even start going to some writings and, you know, book readings and things like that. Maybe go and take a couple of our courses online, or go and find out if there are any groups, because all three of your things seem to be tied in one. That's why you can't make a choice between one or the other. You're trying to prioritize them, and God's not helping you with that.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. So the business and the ministry are interconnected, and the book is an outgrowth of both.
Okay.
So my suggestion to you is for you to, you know, I don't know, you said you're connected with a local body. If your church has organizations, or if it has conferences or things like that, then you should connect with that. But you should find out where the little, you know, business breakfast meetings and things like, they are very helpful. And it also is wise for you to do, because we as Christians start too many things without connections, you know? And if you might meet somebody and say, you know what, but that's what I want to do. Can I shadow you a little bit? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to act like we all went to Mount Sinai like Moses did and got it face to face with God. Not a lot of us get up to Mount Sinai. And listen, Moses had to make the trip because he didn't appreciate the first one. So we have to, you know, we're on earth, so let's do things that way with God's wisdom. You know, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I would suggest you connect with whatever those business meetings are, whatever your idea is, connect with that, and then connect with various ministerial groups that are compatible with what you think God has given you, and the book will take care of itself.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
All right. That. Yes.
Okay, anything else before I pray? You got in. See, look at you. You got in and got your answer.
Oh, Lord, I should have made a list before I got in.
Well, all that means is that you have to call again now. And let's hope you can get in with under 30 days.
Okay. Well, and just, you know, whatever the Lord might be speaking, whatever he wants to say to me.
Well, I'll tell you what he has said. One of the things he said to you right now is be faithful. I'm going to give you that word, be faithful. And obviously that's something between you and God, because, you know, God has a he has a catchphrase for all of us. That catchphrase lets us know where we get tripped up all the time. So his word for you right now is be faithful. And be faithful in that which is least. And he said be patient. He said, and order your steps according to what I told you. You got a journal or something that you list things. God said, follow things the way I tell you to do them. I got to say to you, I keep seeing you in a Moses-like experience where you are on the mountain and God has given you something that's never been done before. And that's part of your hesitancy because you're like, God, wait a minute. Okay. See, that's that hesitancy. So I keep seeing you in the face of the Lord and he's giving you stuff and you're hesitant. And I don't think that you have told your mentor all that you need to tell your mentor.
Probably not.
Okay.
No,
and it just seems like you've got your mentor really got the picture. It seems like there is a breakdown between what you feel you can divulge of your private secret self to your mentor for some reason. And I'm not going to touch that because this call cannot really, we don't have time for it. But God is saying you need a mentor that you feel safe with.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say on that matter. How's that? Did I do well?
You did.
So that is what I hear him saying. Father, thank you so much for James. Thank you for his faithfulness with you. And Lord, thank you for his future. He's such a rich, rewarding future with you. And so, God, I thank you that you keep him close, take him by the hand, lead him through so that he'll know how to lead your people and your ventures. Because he does have both on his plate right now. I'm looking at his shoulders, and he's got efforts on both sides. You have him doing ministry. You have him doing business for a reason. So I thank you for doing it. And, Lord, but give him the mentors that he needs. And let him know it doesn't have to just be one. He may need one for the business sector and another one for the ministry world, whatever that is. But I'm asking that you take charge of his life and his purpose, his calling, and his destiny right now, today, and not let go in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're very, very welcome. Keep me posted. I do want to hear how this plays out for you.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Bless you.
Prophet Ashley.
Well, that was good.
We had a show today, girl.
Yes, we did. Another show done, Dr. Price. It's July. The year is half over.
Can you believe it? I'm telling you, but Ashley, I absolutely love the Paula Price Show. I want to tell everybody who tuned in today, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for going back and listening again. Don't forget, you can get this wisdom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, compliments of technology, the internet, and blog talk radio. And many people tell us they go into the site, they hit it, and let the thing play through. There's so much for you to get as you go back and re-listen, because no matter how much I impacted you live on this call, there are things that slip past you that when you're in the comfort of your home, you can listen to it and take notes and appreciate it. If you're a counselor, if you're a teacher, a trainer, pastor, any kind of a minister, any type of position where you can relate with the people, what the counsel I give on Blog Talk Radio and the trainings have been proven to be very helpful for so many of my audience. So, hey, take advantage of it. It costs you nothing, and it gives you everything. So, again, Ashley, until next week, we had a great show. Hey, you did a great job today, Prophet Ashley Claytor.
Thanks.
We will connect with you again next week. Until then, and listen, don't forget to support me, folks. You know, endorsements are powerful, and I need them. But, you know, the support is also needed as well. And there's no greater covenant than where your treasure is and your heart. So I do encourage you to go online and support the show, as well as going back to listen again and again and again. God bless you, and I will visit with you next week in Florida. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.